Hello everyone, I'm Hossein Goldestani from the University of Michigan, and today I'm going to present our work, Software Data Planes, You Can't Always Spin to Win. I've done this work with my colleague Amir Hossein Mir Hosseini and my advisor, Professor Thomas Hwenish. So data centers and cloud computing are evolving at an amazingly rapid pace. With the advent of software-defined networking, network components are built within industry-standard servers and are often virtualized. And VM-based or containerized computing has led to wide adoption of I/O virtualization, that is, virtualized network and storage devices. And online data-intensive applications leverage a distributed microservice-based software model that involves much finer-grained inter-server communication in comparison to a monolithic software architecture. At the very lowest level, it is crucial that in the cloud, data communication between CPU and I/O be fast in terms of both throughput and latency, tail latency in particular, to satisfy stringent service objectives. For communicating with I/O devices, conventional systems use services provided by the OS kernel. So the user application relies on system calls or interrupts to receive data from or send data to I/O devices. OS intervention has obvious overheads like context switching and flushing hardware pipelines and intermediate buffer copies. So these overheads are unacceptable with today's microsecond scale tasks and high-speed I/O. As a result, state-of-the-art software architectures bypass the OS kernel to avoid the associated overheads. You can see just a handful of such architectures here. The problem that these works try to solve is providing the necessary OS functionality to the user space, for example, user-level thread or task scheduling and software stacks for user-level networking and storage. Software data planes are a genuine realization of kernel bypassing. The key mechanisms of software data planes are first user-level queues shared with I/O through which OS kernel is bypassed to achieve lower latency. Second, cores spin pool on these queues to quickly find out whether data are received from I/O. Spin pooling is in fact a fast notification mechanism enabled by cache coherence. These shared queues are in cacheable memory locations, so a write to them propagates a cache line invalidation signal to a spinning cores within nanoseconds. And these mechanisms are widely used for fast network packet processing and forwarding, data communication with the storage systems, storage devices, and I/O virtualization. Data plane development kit, or DPDK, and storage performance development kit, or SPDK, are popular data plane infrastructures for networking and storage, respectively. While spin pooling is easy to use and low latency for I/O communication and signaling, in this work we quantitatively show that it is not a panacea and is far from ideal as far as scaling is concerned. So if we want that our data plane systems to not become ragged like this Tasmanian devil, we need better software and hardware abstractions for them. In particular, we show that spin pooling is associated with a number of inefficiencies, which are first performing more work when there is actually less, and next lack of scalability to many cores and queues, and finally not being suitable for shared queues. So this is the outline for the rest of this talk. Next, I'm going to describe our experimental methodology. And then I go through the experiments of characterizing the challenges of software data planes. And before concluding the talk, I discuss some possible solution directions. So we use applications built through DPDK, which is a representative open source data plane infrastructure for networking that is started and promoted by Intel. Our machine under test is a Skylake server equipped with a dual port Mellanox 100 gigabit Ethernet Mellanox network card. And at the bottom of the slide, you can basically see the roadmap of the experiments for characterizing software data plane challenges that I'm going to go through one by one in this talk. There are a number of more experiments covered in the paper, so please refer to our paper for thorough experimental results. Spin polling suffers from a number of inefficiencies. The first one is polling overhead, or as we call it, polling tax, which can be, the body of poll loop incurs an inevitable overhead, which can be non-negligible. And spinning on empty or idle queues is an inherent inefficiency and wasteful use of CPU cycles, which may possibly cause unnecessary cache misses. Such a polling tax adversely affects throughput and makes more cores be required for line saturation. In this code snippet here, we can see a sample poll loop. The first two lines are always considered as overhead. And lines 3 and 4 are considered useful only when there are actually packets in the queues and wasteful otherwise. And the last two lines show the real piece of work, which is routing based on the LPM or longest prefix match algorithm. Using this specific LPM-based application on this particular configuration shown here, we observe that a polling tax can be 20 to 28% of total CPU cycles, even in 100% load or maximum possible throughput. The next inefficiency of spin polling is a lack of work proportionality. Modern cores can spin with remarkably high IPC or instructions per cycle, even when doing no useful work. In this chart here, we can see the IPC of a single core spinning on a number of queues and performing LPM routing at different loads shown on the x-axis. The leftmost data points, which correspond to zero load, demonstrate very high IPC values. As load increases, more time is spent on useful work, which interestingly results in lower IPC. And such a high IPC at lower loads can have harmful effects on server systems, including energy inefficiency, fast aging, and severe core runner interference. And I'm going to describe this last one in the next slide. Spinning on idle queues in light traffic may result in executing even more instructions, as we saw in the previous slide. This may have an implication on SMT core runners. Modern cores have SMT or simultaneously multi-threaded cores. So since SMT cores of a physical CPU share execution resources and L1 and L2 caches, workloads simultaneously executed on them may impact each other's performance. So we examined the interference of this spin-based LPM routing application on a regular application which continuously performs matrix multiplications. When these two applications are executed on separate physical CPUs, the IPC of the matrix multiply app is 2.24, as we can see on the left bar of this chart. But when these two applications are co-located on the SMT cores of the same physical CPU, the IPC of matrix multiply substantially decreases regardless of the routing load. So useless spinning on idle queues in lower loads can waste execution resources that could be otherwise used by an SMT core runner. So let's move on to the next challenge, which is a lack of queue scalability. IO traffic in data plane applications consists of many flows spread among multiple cores, multiple queues. Since a data plane application is provisioned with a limited number of cores, each core may be responsible for processing multiple queues. And due to the limited size of L1 and L2 caches, and also a last level cache or LLC, we expect the time to poll a set of queues to grow with with the queues. So in our next experiment, we have a core spinning on input queues and simply forwarding packets to output queues. And we want to see the effect of scaling up the number of queues on forwarding latency and throughput. First, effect on latency. We vary the number of queues up to 512 and measure round-trip latency in low load where forwarding throughput is less than 1 million packets per second. Since traffic is light here, there's minimal queuing latency. And as we can see, the round-trip latency linearly grows by increasing the number of queues. And so in this specific experiment, we observed that the number of loads to the last level cache increases gradually increases for more than 64 queues. And this is this implies that queue heads no longer fit in L1 and L2 caches, and some must be read from the LLC each pull loop iteration. So the limitation of L1 and L2 caches in holding queue heads can severely affect latency. And now effect on throughput. We increase the number of queues and measure the maximum forwarding throughput at each case. Here we have two traffic shapes. The first one is balanced, where traffic consists of packets evenly pass through all the queues. And second, unbalanced traffic, where traffic consists of a single queue and packets pass through only one of the queues. In both cases, the throughput, as we can see, decreases by increasing the number of queues. And this is because when having many queues, reading queue heads may cause cache misses. In the case of balanced traffic, the peak throughput converges to a constant value, which means that when having a large number of queues, each queue head miss results in a transmit burst. In the unbalanced traffic case, since cache misses are not interleaved with transmit bursts, increasing the number of queues causes throughput to constantly decrease and converge to zero. And this is the unwanted effect on unbalanced traffic. And last challenge is scale-up queuing in the context of spin polling. The scale-up queuing organization where a central queue is shared among multiple cores is often compared with the scale-out queuing organization, where cores are associated with multiple queues. Scale-up queuing has a strong theoretical properties. First, a core will not remain idle if there is work in the queue. This may happen in scale-out queuing. And second, the scale-up queuing doesn't suffer from head-of-line blocking, where processing a packet takes longer than average. And this again may happen in scale-out queuing. The disadvantage of a scale-up queuing, however, is that the cores need to synchronize to access the central queue. So we want to examine these trade-offs in a data plane application. We want to see the effect of having many queues, having many cores in either of these configurations on throughput and latency. One factor that causes head-of-line blocking is processing hiccups, where a stall, for example, garbage collection or TLB misses happen, or processing itself takes unusually longer. So we have two cases here. First, when there is no hiccup, and second, when there are synthetic 1 microsecond hiccups with 1% probability. So these charts show the round-trip latency at different loads. When there's no hiccup, as we can see in the left chart, the latency at lower loads is similar in both of the configurations. And when load increases, the scale-up organization saturates sooner. This is because of the synchronization overhead. But we can see the clear advantage of the scale-up queuing in the right chart when there are processing hiccups. This is because scale-up queuing is not affected by head-of-line blocking. But again, it saturates at a lower load in comparison to scale-out queuing. So one must be aware of such a break-even point when using a scale-up queuing. So we have hopefully motivated the need for data planes that are scalable to higher data rates and larger core and queue counts. So future data planes need to leverage the advantages of spin polling, which are bypassing the kernel and low latency IO signaling while avoiding the characterized overheads and scalability issues. We have discussed a number of solution directions in the paper. Here I only describe one of them, which is a multi-address monitoring scheme. This is actually inspired by the MWAIT instruction of the x86 architecture. MWAIT makes the control flow of a program based on a memory location to change values. MWAIT is a simple primitive, and it can only monitor a contiguous address range. An advanced MWAIT which can monitor multiple locations would be quite exciting. We refer to such a multi-address MWAIT as QWAIT, whose programming model is shown in this code snippet. And this is very similar to the select case statements in the Go programming language. When the program reaches QWAIT, it waits until a packet or a task is received in one of the queues, and the proper case statement directs the control flow to the proper processing function. Such a multi-address MWAIT can avoid polling tags and useless spinning on idle or empty queues, and as a result, less disruption is incurred to SMT core runners. So this particular solution, of course, needs a hardware support, and we are actually going to present that in our follow-up work, and this is out of the scope of this paper. So as a result, in conclusion, we saw that software data planes use user-level shared queues and spin polling cores. And although they are easy to use and have low latency, they have a number of inefficiencies, specifically when scaled. And we use DPDK applications to show these issues, which are polling overhead and useless spinning on idle queues, lack of scalability to many cores and queues, and not being suitable for scale-up queuing. So thank you very much, and I would be happy to take your questions.
Let's thank the speaker. Questions?
Hi, Atef Hattayi from Penn State. Nice talk. So my question is that among your directions, is there any direction that does not need any hardware support that can be done in the software layer?
Yeah. So there are a number of works that try to provide a scheduling mechanism so specifically the most related work to us would be Shenango, which was presented in NSDI. And what they try to do is to provide a scheduling algorithm when they see that some of the polls or spin polls result in empty queues. So a pure software approach or solution would require a scheduler to handle these kind of useless spinning on the queues. Yeah, but our solution, yeah, of course, needs hardware support. And basically, it provides more options for like the schedulers if they want to like use that.
We can take one more question, and in the meanwhile, the next speaker can please come up and sit. Any other question? Okay, let's thank the speaker again, I guess.